Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, April 29th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway stars James Marino. Hey, we want to wish a happy, happy, happy birthday to our good friends over at Broadway Briefing who turned one yesterday. Matt, you know what? He's walking around on his own.
Well, I'm probably falling down a little bit too.
Well, no more than I fall down.
That's true.
And I'm much more than one.
Well, on that note, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And if you're interested in joining the Broadway Radio team, email us at james@broadwayradio.com and matt@broadwayradio.com. All right, James, news time.
All right, shuffle along. Open and big. Go big or go home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Believe it or not, last night, the final Broadway show of the 2015-2016 season opened at the Music Box Theater, and it was the much-discussed Shuffle Along or the Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and all that followed. Before we get to the reviews, I do want to set the stage a little bit because this has been a rather interesting development and preview process for Shuffle Along, especially because it's probably a fairly new show for a lot of people because it didn't have an out-of-town tryout, and it is coming to Broadway in its premiere production. So, in a nutshell, the musical centers on the 1921 Broadway revue Shuffle Along, which was one of the first theatrical successes to feature an all-African-American cast and creative team. In this show, which features a new book by director George C. Wolfe, we not only see that original revue, but, as the title suggests, all that followed its initial success. This unusual construct has led to a lot of jockeying for awards consideration as the show's producer Scott Rudin wants it to be considered a revival as to avoid the awards hogging Hamilton in the new musical categories. The Tony Administration Committee will announce their rulings tomorrow, but when the drama desks were announced earlier today, which we'll get to in a minute, they placed it in the new musical category. So we'll talk about what the drama desks mean for future Tony nominations, but that's something to keep an eye on. In addition to the Tony winner Wolf as director, Savion Glover is the choreographer, and the cast is a veritable who's who of incredible performers from Otter McDonald to Brian Stokes Mitchell to Billy Porter, Joshua Henry, Brandon Victor Dixon, Adrian Warren, Brooks Ashmanskas, and many more. So onto the reviews. As we can probably could have guessed, the critical consensus is that the performances are incredible and the show itself is really, really strong, but doesn't feel completely congealed or coherent yet. The Associated Press's Mark Kennedy wrote that the musical, like its title suggests, is a genre-jumping show, something not comfortable in one box. It's not a review or a revival. It's more like a history lesson that will blow you away. He does say, there is a bit of bloat, too much exposition, and with five stars who each need a backstory, a plot sometimes slows. But Wolf nicely captures the timeless craziness of creation and the glory days of a special show. The Hollywood Reporter's David Rooney singles out the immortal Audra McDonald, saying, it goes without saying at this point that there's nothing the superhuman McDonald can't do on stage. But rarely do we get to see her cut loose in exuberant comedic mode to the extent she does here. Even beyond her numbers, McDonald kills it with her timing. Every word, look, or gesture smacks its target. However, he does also note some of the issues with the show's book, writing, even if the structural limitation of Wolf's undertaking are unable to support the scope of his noble intention, it's a genuine thrill to watch this outrageously talented cast herald the achievements of a team that brought innovative black artistry to mainstream American theater. David Cody of Time Out New York wraps everything up nicely, saying, the first half is sensational, the second is difficult in terms of our heroes' post-success fates and how engagingly their narratives play out. But with a cast this incandescent and Wolf staging a constant flow of miracles, there's an overflow of joy and style that smooths over stylistic rough edges and knotty stitching of history to myth. James, we've heard a lot about this show, not necessarily being ready for prime time, so to speak, as recently as last week. But based on the critical response thus far, and there'll be more reviews to come out, it sounds like while the show clearly has its flaws, it's still one hell of a good time.
So the question is going to be, is the show able to stand on its own feet after this amazing cast is replaced with probably equally amazing talent, but less well known. Will they be able to sell the tickets and get butts in the seats?
Well, not only that, though, you know, as great as the cast is in terms of theater folk recognition, Audra McDonald is by far the biggest name. And as we know and we've talked about, she's leaving the show this summer for a couple months to go over to the West End to do Lady Day. So it'll be interesting to see how that impacts the run, even with the rest of the original cast still on stage. So it sounds like a show that I would absolutely love, being kind of a history nerd, but it does seem like it's going to have to figure out where it sits. And once it figures out what Tonys it's going to be eligible for, and then what kind of critical or what kind of commercial response it has once it's finally open.
I think that the only way that we're going to know is right after the Tony Awards, if it picks up some Tonys in the acting categories and maybe some other type of Tony that they can market on. We'll see how it does.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the opening night of Long Day's Journey Into Night just finished because it's 3 days later. So Matt, why don't you give us the reviews that came out after the show was complete?
That's funny. Yesterday we went through all of these rave reviews about Roundabout's revival of Long Day's Journey Into Night, which stars Jessica Lange, Gabriel Byrne, Michael Shannon, and John Gallagher Jr. Also on yesterday's show, we talked about how the New York Times, be it Ben Brantley or Charles Isherwood, seems to have been at odds with the majority of critics from other publications nearly all spring, and that was no different with this production either. I don't know if we're psychic, James, but this seems to be a recurring pattern. Despite receiving universal acclaim elsewhere, Brantley wrote that Lang's performance, he wrote of Lang's performance, you can feel Miss Lang giving her all to each of her big set pieces, but they often feel too exquisitely self-contained, like coloratura arias in an opera. Miss Lang is often acting beautifully, but she is also often palpably acting, and her final soliloquy is stretched self-indulgently thin. Brantley, while he doesn't say it in quite as negative a way as I'm about to, basically says the entire cast delivers powerful performances, but at their core, they're phony. So I don't know, James. It's really odd to see so many shows either getting great reviews to have the Times knock them down, or to see shows get pretty tepid reviews to have the Times build them up. So I'm not sure. This is an interesting thing, and I think this will be kind of something that historians and someone like Peter Felicia or Jen Tepper will write about in a couple decades.
It's ironic. We'll have to see after tonight's review of Shuffle Along if Brantley says, or I don't know if it's Isherwood or Brantley, but either one of them could say, you know, this Audra McDonald thing, she'll never catch on.
If they do that, I know we'll pretty much be able to say they're drinking something weird over at the Times office.
Hashtag satire. I'm making hashtags with my fingers, you know. So, coming up on the award season that we touched upon, Drama Desk nominees were announced.
They were. We mentioned it earlier, and yesterday Matthew Morrison and Vanessa Williams announced the Drama Desk Award nominations. James, I think that beyond the Tonys, these are the most prestigious New York Theater Awards, aren't they, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, and they seem to be somewhat of a canary in the coal mine, if you will, an indicator of what's going to happen, even though Off-Broadway is mixed in with these as well.
Sure, and that's something to keep in mind, that shows like Hamilton or Disaster that are considered an extension of a previous Off-Broadway production are not eligible for this year's awards, so you won't see Lin-Manuel Miranda or Leslie Odom Jr. or Seth Rudetsky anywhere nominated in these categories. But while other big Broadway musicals led the way in nominations, She Loves Me has 9, American Psycho has 8, Bright Star has 7, a few smaller shows mixed in there as well. The Public Theater's musical First Daughter Suite and Pulitzer Prize winner Annie Baker's new play John tied with Color Purple and Shuffle Along with 6 nominations. So it was kind of interesting to see that dichotomy of what's getting recognized by the drama desks. In the Outstanding New Play category, we have The Christians, The Humans, John, King Charles III in the Royale. For new musicals, we have First Daughter Suite, Daddy Long Legs, School of Rock, Shuffle Along, and Waitress, which is an interesting list, considering, as I said, American Psycho and Bright Star are second and third in total nominations each, but neither of them were included in the Best Musical category. They're edged out by much smaller off-Broadway musicals. Another interesting thing to point out is that despite six total nominations, Shuffle Along didn't pick up a single acting nomination despite this incredible powerhouse cast. Also, Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson didn't get a featured actress nomination, but her Color Purple co-star Danielle Brooks did. So it's one of those things where you never know what's going to happen. These things that seem so set in stone ahead of time, it was just automatically considered that when Jennifer Hudson was announced for The Color Purple, that it would just be another rung in her quest for an EGOT. And now she's not nominated for a Drama Desk, so will she be nominated next week for a Tony? Who knows? But it's it definitely makes these nomination live streams interesting.
I know that Lin-Manuel Miranda is probably wiping the sweat off of his collective brow that Daddy Long Legs didn't make it to Broadway this year.
I like Daddy Long Legs. I watched the live stream. Why do you got to throw shots at Daddy Long Legs? I thought it was a very sweet and charming show.
It was just the easiest thing to do. I'm so lazy that way.
I know you're worn down with all of your theater seeing, so I'll cut you a little slack there. I hope Ken Davenport does the same.
Oh, well, we will be having the list of nominees on BroadwayRadio.com. So if you want to check it out there, you can do that as well. And I'll even leave Daddy Longlegs on the list.
How benevolent of you.
All right. So what's up in casting news?
Well, yesterday was a little interesting. It was announced that Tony winner Michael McGraw would be leaving the critically acclaimed revival of She Loves Me early for personal reasons. I don't know if it's safe to assume that it's not a health reason, because he will be continuing with the performance until May 8th, where he will be replaced in the role of the lovable Sipos by Tom McGowan. Now, James, I am not one for gossip, and I don't generally make it a habit of reading page six, but we mentioned Broadway Briefing earlier, and this morning they linked to a blind item on page six that read, and this is a quote, "What featured actor blew a shot at B-Way's upcoming limited engagement musical revival with a big star? Producer zapped his taking another job beforehand. Tisk, tisk. He could have warbled Bach, Harnick, Berlin, Herman, and probably a partridge in a pear tree all within 1 year." It's funny because my initial thought went immediately to McGraw, since he's in She Loves Me, and he would make a great Horace Vandegelder opposite Bette Midler in Hello, Dolly. And then you throw in Irving Berlin's Holiday Inn, which is going to be replacing She Loves Me at 54 Below from Roundabout. And that's immediately who I went to when I read that. And then to see this announcement of him leaving She Loves Me a little earlier, I don't know if those are related, but it seems like it's at least a pretty major coincidence, don't you think?
That's advanced calculus you're doing there. I was totally lost.
I'm lost.
I have to play back the recording and say,
if you do it backwards, you'll hear a secret message.
Oh, Paul is dead. Okay. So what's happening at the front page?
All right. Well, this one should be a little more straightforward. I apologize. We previously talked about the already star-studded Broadway revival of Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur's comedy The Front Page. Well, yesterday it was announced that Shooter McGavin himself, Christopher McDonald, would be joining Nathan Lane, John Slattery, John Goodman, Jefferson Mays, Rosemary Harris, and Sherry Renee Scott in the role of Murphy. On Broadway, McDonald has played Billy Flynn in Chicago and Eddie Hayes in Lucky Guy. And if you don't remember what The Front Page is about, it is a dark comedy that centers around the 1920s, 1930s era Chicago newspaper business. So that's looking like it's shaping up to be one hell of a cast, and it's going to be a big cast. They originally said it was going to be at least two dozen actors, and we've only got a handful of them so far, so it'll be interesting to see if any other big names pop up.
I missed the dates on this. Did you mention any dates?
I did not mention any dates. I believe it is scheduled for 2016, 2017, but I don't know if that's off the top of my head, if that's in the fall or in the spring, or if they've announced that yet.
So, flashback to yesterday, is this maybe why Sherry Renee Scott is not in Whirl Within a Loop?
Yeah, I thought about that. Too. I would imagine, though, if she really wanted to do a show that she wrote and had already been in on Broadway, that might have taken priority, but this definitely would present a little bit of a conflict if she wanted to do both, and maybe because she was committed to Front Page beforehand, that's why we see Christina Hendricks. But I have a feeling that was more of a commercial decision than what Sherry wanted to do.
So isn't this maybe why Sherry Renee Scott's not doing War Within a Loop?
I see what you did there, James, because our next story is about the upcoming musical adaptation of the hilarious Bill Murray comedy, Groundhog Day.
I got you, babe.
Yesterday, London's Daily Mail reported that Carlos Pier is joining the Old Vic's world premiere of the musical, which will also star Tony nominee Andy Carl. She will play the role of Rita, which was played on screen by Andy McDowell. Pier has done a lot of classical theater and some TV in the UK, so it'll be interesting to see how she does in Tim Minchin's Matilda follow-up, which opens this summer for a limited run on July 11th, and I would imagine has its sights set on coming to Broadway soon thereafter. There's a great podcast over in the UK that focuses on West End theater and London theater called Inside the West End. And in one of their first episodes, they have a two-parter with Tim Minchin. And they're actually in rehearsals for this show. Check that one out. It's really good. And I'm a big Tim Minchin fan from even before Matilda. So you should check out some of his YouTube videos of his comedy stuff. He's great. So I'm excited to see what this looks like. The Daily Mail is also reporting that Eugene McCoy will be playing the role of cameraman Larry. You've got to love Larry.
Hey, it looks like Groundhog Day spilled into the next story. Another Glass Menagerie revival?
That's, again, going to page six. A few weeks ago, we started hearing rumors about this, that Tennessee Williams classic, The Glass Menagerie, might be circling Broadway again, this time with the great Sally Field as Amanda. Well, again, back to page six. Yesterday, they reported that Fun Home Tony winner Sam Gold was now attached to direct, and that he was hoping to cast the role of Laura with an actress, and this is a quote, with an actual disability. Gold is also hoping to cast the innumerably talented Joe Mantello as Tom. So pretty interesting when you compare it to the cast of the last revival, which was decidedly younger than what this cast is shaping up to be. Field has previously played Amanda at the Kennedy Center in 2004. And James, I know I'm getting old, but didn't we just do this? Didn't we just have a Glass Menagerie revival like literally 2 years ago?
Yeah, two years ago.
Two or three?
Celia Keenan-Bolger, yeah.
And Zachary Quinto, yeah. And Cherry Jones. I mean, it just seems like, I mean, we complained when Spring Awakening came back like 10 years later, and this is literally, I think it is 2 years, maybe three, something like that.
You know, it's been about 25 years since Phantom opened. Maybe it's time for a revival of Phantom.
Hey, you've been talking about having two productions of the same show going on at the same time, so we could have two versions of Phantom on opposite sides of Broadway.
Oh, and here is we've been so good about getting Hamilton stories into the mix here, or actually getting only the important ones, and this one is an important one, so tell us about it.
Oh, hell yeah, it is. Sources tell HeatStreet.com that Broadway's hip-hop musical Hamilton is set to be filmed with its current cast prior to the departure of the show's star and creator Lin-Manuel Miranda this summer. You know, because this is, you know, just now getting to award season, we forget that Hamilton did open last either July or August. So it's about time for those initial one-year contracts to expire. And apparently Lin is going to leave after the first year. So they are filming this, as Miranda has hinted at before the end of the summer. I know I personally love that idea, James, because who knows when I'll be able to get a ticket to actually see it. But I do wonder how long the producers are going to keep it on the shelf before they actually release it, whether that's on DVD, on demand, in the, you know, in theaters, on the big screen, whenever it is. I don't know if it's going to be right away. What do you think?
I would think that they would release it right away. It doesn't seem as though that releasing a filmed production impacts the Broadway sales at all. I mean, we look at Chicago, we look at Rent, we look at the other types of things that have happened over the last couple of years, and they really haven't diminished. I mean, the Phantom film came out, and we're just joking about Phantom being on Broadway for 25 years and another couple of years extra in London. So, and the Phantom film has come and gone, and you know.
Yeah, but those were all well into the runs, and they were adaptations, not the actual performance itself. Not that I think it will necessarily hurt the ticket sales, because I think they've actually sold into 2025 already.
Yeah.
But you know, it is interesting. This is something that you don't see very often. I know, what was it? Memphis did it a couple years ago where they streamed one and showed it in theaters. So it'll be interesting to see. And you know, Memphis was a Tony-winning show, but it was not by any means Hamilton level of success. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but count me in. I mean, I'll be buying a ticket, and I go to a lot of these streams, whether it's from NT Live or on Fathom, and it's down here in Orlando, it's maybe me and like four or five other people. if they do Hamilton in a movie theater, I have a feeling there will be quite a few more people than I'm used to seeing at these things.
Well, I want to point out that Daddy Long Legs was streamed, and that's still out and running.
Stop. I love that. I enjoyed that show. Why you got to be a hater?
Haters going to hate, hate, hate. So tell me about, before we wrap up, tell me about Heat Street. I don't know this website.
I don't either. It was linked. It's actually a...
I mean, if this is not Variety or Broadway.com or something like this, could this be like some dude in his basement and he's like, hey, I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to film this before, you know, is it validated anywhere?
I said the same thing because I didn't know if it was part of, because you know you have things like Vulture and yeah. and other things that are part of larger organizations. So I clicked over to heatstreet.com and I was kind of scrolling around, and as I'm doing right now to get back to read it exactly right, but it's taking a second to load.
Is it a Squarespace site?
It is not a Squarespace. So. But okay, here we go. It is a Dow Jones, and it is part of Dow Jones and Company.
Oh, okay.
So it is legitimate. It is powered by WordPress, though, so I don't know what that means. But yeah, it's a legit site. I saw Dow Jones and Company. I was like, okay, this is credible. This is not. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to mention his name. I was afraid if I said it too many times, he might appear somewhere. But that's fine. Well, you can tell it's the end of a long week when we're both tired because we are totally off the rails. And you didn't hear the giggle fit James had before we started recording.
All right, Matt. We got to get out of here.
Yes, we do. Thanks.
Let's see. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm not prepared for you. Oh, my God. So I'm seeing Tuck Everlasting on Friday evening and Long Day's Journey tonight on Saturday evening if you are in New York and want a date on Saturday night. And if my wife cancels on me, I will take you to Long Day's Journey tonight. Just send me an email. We've gotten like 40 emails so far. So get on that list. And Matt, get us out of here.
Oh, thank God. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. I'll have a new episode of Some Like It Pop coming out on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play either today or maybe tomorrow, depending on how much work I'm able to get done.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you all for supporting us and listening to us and giving us your feedback. We love your feedback, good and bad. And take a listen to This Week on Broadway this Sunday. And we will be back. Matt and I will be back on Monday morning. Take care. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, April 29th, 2016. I'm Broadway World.
Oh, no, I'm tired. Oh, I got the giggles and I'm tired.
You've been possessed by whatever it was scaring your daughter.
Yeah.